Gordon McSmith. This is Mike Harris on the Rents with Network, and today is Wednesday, November 7th, 2012. And as many of you can imagine, this is one of the most anticlimactic days of the year. And we're going to be joined by a guest today. We're trying to get him online. His name is Vinny Eastwood. He is the really radio sensation from down, I can't say down under because that's Australia. He's a Kiwi. He's from New Zealand. And I have my board operator trying to get the connection ready for us. Oh, you're here. Hey, how are you? I thought we were still trying to locate you.
Well, you know, luckily, I'm capable of locating myself because I have a chip installed.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Anyway, I just got to tell people why I invited you on. Number one is that you're a very funny guy, and you're great to listen to. You've got a really dry and sharp sense of humor that I thought that our listeners might enjoy. And number two was to get your perspective on the most anticlimactic day of the year, at least in America, and that is the day after our presidential and all other elections. So with that being said, Vinny, welcome to the show.
Mike, I love you, man. You got such a... Well, look at it this way, bro. I love the Rents Radio Network. I come on here with Charlie McGrath every now and again. I came on your show when you were on Republic, and now I'm back, and now you're on Rents, and it's like all happy families. Have you noticed that there's two elements of truthers out there? Those who really do want to tell the truth, regardless of whatever the truth might be, even if you lose everything in order to do it, and those who are willing to sacrifice the truth so that they don't lose anything. And ironically, because they don't sacrifice anything, they lose everything because their life is living a lie. There's really nothing there for them.
Well, you're right. They have no integrity, and nothing is more valuable than your integrity.
Oh, you're totally correct, man. And being from the business world, integrity is basically all you have, reputation, right? And I'm attempting at a very young age to forge a really big reputation among the truth community and whatever. So for those of you who have just received the news that Obama's been re-elected, this is my Facebook status. I knew Obama would be re-elected. Okay? I've known it for over a year. He was going to be re-elected for the same reason I knew in advance that John Key, the current Prime Minister of New Zealand, would be re-elected. Why? Because they were sent to destroy the country. And they aren't finished yet. Hence, they're going to get re-elected. And they did.
You're right. But what other hints did you have? What other tell signs did they give you that Obama and Kane were going to be re-elected? It's one thing about when people play poker, they always have these little things they do that people can read, and they know if they've got a good hand or a bad hand, if they're bluffing, whatever. But what gave it away for you? What did you notice about the process, about the people who, give us a hint.
Okay. Namely, Obama was such a great deceiver. He had 2 million people waving flags on the mail. They were going, oh, my God, he's going to change everything. The only change that came out of it was for homeless people begging for it after they lost their jobs because of the Barack Obama administration. That's my opinion anyway. You have a look at his bailouts, and you have a look at his policies in the Middle East, the drone strikes in Pakistan, and you think to yourself, man, this guy's really fulfilling the New World Order agenda quite well. Not only is he fulfilling the New World Order agenda, but he's such a good deceiver that he gets people to love him for it. And he's such a great speaker, and there was such fanfare. That fanfare has not died down to the point where you've got people on every street corner protesting against him. Even if there were protests, what have they accomplished? Occupy Wall Street. What did he accomplish?
Nothing.
So Wall Street's still there. Wall Street's still there, and it's still working away six ways from Sunday. And you have a look at the funding for the candidates. I had a listener of mine comment on Facebook this morning. I'll see if I can pull up those stats for you.
Well, I've done the work on the funding, and if you look at both Obama and Romney, you look at who their top 10 contributors for each of them are. Eight of the top 10 contributed to both candidates almost equally, and those are large corporate banks. That's who's putting the money into this guy, are these guys. So really, the way I look at it is the banks can't lose. They're betting both sides of the street, you know. So we don't have a democracy in this country anymore. Let's face it. The USA is now a communist country. And, you know, I had Gordon Duff on yesterday. And Gordon and I were talking about how capitalism, whenever it evolves to its end, it's like a game of Monopoly. And when communism evolves to its end, they're identical. And they're funded by the same people. And that's what we've got in the U.S. We're in the final stages of killing the U.S. as a democratic republic, and we're about to become the United Soviet States of America.
Yeah, that's about right. And in fact, there was a video that Pastor Lindsay Williams sent me from a retired general talking about how communism comes about, because it was part of his training to know how Marxists brainwash their troops, to know how Marxists' military tactics work in order to take over free independent nations, to corrupt their political system, to finance bankers, and all of that kind of stuff, right? So you have a look at those things that were trained into a general, for goodness sake, and he's laying out all of these different tactics, and they are 100% in line with everything the U.S. administration, Republican or Democrat, is doing right now. You are now part of a Marxist republic. Okay? It's the USSA.
Well, that's
the United Socialist States of America.
Well, that is it. And I look at it like, in the former Soviet Union, they had the Politburos. They were like secret organizations, and these were their decision makers, and they operated in a vacuum, disconnected from input from their people. We've got the same exact thing, only we call it the Council on Foreign Relations. We call it the Bilderberger Group. We call it the Trilateral Commission. Just different names, but the function is the same. And so we've got the same structure. Here we are. We wake up, it's 2012, November 7th, and the U.S. is now a Sovietized country. That's what we are. And one of the things is going to happen, and I was on your show, 2 days ago, Vinny? And I told you this to your listeners. I'll say it again for mine. Either one of two things is going to happen, and that is either the people are going to push back, and we're going to force our government to live by the values that we espouse. That's one scenario. Or we're going to force the police state that we're in to take off its mask and to show us for the monster that it really is. One of those two things is going to happen.
So, in your opinion, how far do we need to go down this road before the road ends and we all fall off the cliff and it's martial law, full-on police state?
Well, I think that we're going to have a trigger event coming up here pretty soon. You've heard about the expression of a black swan. I think we're about to see a black swan. And in fact, I think we're probably going to see a collapse of the global financial system, and which will cause Obama to implement a bank holiday. And when a bank holiday happens, guess what? Your credit card doesn't work. Your debit card doesn't work. You can't go to the bank and get any money. So what you've got in your pocket is what you've got. And after people spend, $50, $100 they've got on them, that is when panic is going to set in. And I think that is going to be the event that is going to cause martial law in this country. I hate to say it, but that is my gloomy prediction, because it is gloomy. Okay, well, boy, that's your time perfect. Here's our first break, and we'll be back in. afternoon. Welcome back to Shorter But Stick. This is Mike Harris on the Rents Radio Network, and we're on today with special guest Vinnie Eastwood, who really is, you know, unusual because here's a guy who comes from a small country, New Zealand, and he has put himself on the world stage via his radio show and via his really community activist efforts out there in order to bring attention. And one of the reasons I wanted Vinnie on was because it's not just the USA that's getting trashed, that's getting destroyed. His country, New Zealand, is as well. And this is happening in every Western nation, westernized nation around the globe. The same thing. This agenda is being imposed upon us to turn us all into communist vassal states, part of the New World Order. So Vinnie, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what do you see that's similar as to what's going on in this country? You know, I mean, we've had our Bill of Rights has been shredded, you know, where we're not allowed to assemble within a range of any political public figures. Just, you know, indefinite detention.
Can I ask you, Mike?
Sure.
Are you allowed to hand out flyers? Like, let's say there's a big public protest and there's thousands of people in the streets and you try to hand out flyers with information. Are you still allowed to do that?
Boy, you know, I don't know how far they're going to take this this new NDAA law, but they did say that...
Because in New Zealand, in New Zealand, if you try and hand out 9/11 DVDs, flyers, information, at a protest... You can have all your stuff confiscated off you by the local council and fine you up to $5,000 for handing out protest material at a protest which is already ratified and allowed by the council. Okay?
So
we've got things going on here that are so bad.
Let me understand this. Okay, so you've got a permit to publicly assemble to protest. You went through the proper motions. You got the permit to assemble. And so you have it in your protest, but if you hand out any flyers or DVDs, then they're confiscated, you're arrested, and fined?
Yeah.
Somehow that doesn't pass my common sense test.
Does that blow your freaking mind or what?
What is a protest supposed to be? Would they rather have you bring Molotov cocktails and throw those instead?
I mean, I'd rather bring Molotov cocktails and throw those instead if this is the option I'm being given, you know. it's just beyond a joke. And it's so tyrannical, right? I've got this feeling this knot in my stomach or whatever about how ridiculous this kind of thing is. And I've got a video here for you as well. It's like less than 5 minute video. We can probably watch it over the break. But when you do this, you expose it and you tell the people about it. And you know what the people do? Nothing. You know, it's just like the appeal to authority is so massive that people have no common sense anymore. If an authority figure with a bright yellow jacket says it, it must be true. If some, it's so horrible to behold. It's like my entire country's been taken away, just piece by piece, block by block. All the minds and the hearts and the honesty and the morality of my people is being usurped on a daily basis, more and more and more and more. And that's what's really similar about our countries. In New Zealand, our singers sing with American accents. Dig that, man. We have such an Americanized culture, it's just not even funny. We've got such an Americanized culture that our Prime Minister, John Key, used to work for the Federal Reserve on Wall Street for 2 years as Merrill Lynch's representative, one of the shareholders of the Fed, in charge of European bond and derivatives trading for 2 years. Okay? We're such globalists that the leader of the opposition party against the Federal Reserve guy comes direct from the United Nations, came out of nowhere, suddenly became the leader of the party, and now, oh, there's opposition. We've got bankers and the UN former employees running this country as if they're running it for our people? No. They're running it for the banks. They're running it for the globalists. End of frickin' story. Anybody who says anything different is retarded and needs adult supervision. I cannot stress this enough. There is a lot of adult supervision that is just sorely lacking everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I know what you say, but I have a comment on this. And I actually have two comments on two things you said. One of them is, if you look at what our Hollywood is, the media and entertainment mecca of the world, and you look at the thought that comes out of what they're training people to believe, you watch these shows like Criminal Minds, like CSI, or any police show, no matter what, they'll use any evidence. There's no way that you can do anything and not get caught, according to these television shows and these movies. Everybody always gets caught. And they don't take into account that they may have to spend a $20 million forensic budget to find who the killer is or whatever. So they create this impression that no matter if you do anything wrong, you will get caught. It's a false impression. And I hear a half-hour break coming up. This is the Funky Cold Medina, and we'll be right back after this. So stick with us, folks. Short End of the Stick. This is Mike Harris on the Vince Radio Network, and today is November 7th. It's a Wednesday, the day after the election, one of the more depressing days of the year, and we're on with very special guest, Vinny Eastwood. And I invited Vinny because he does have a sense of humor, and he brightens my mood every time I talk to him, so I try to help brighten everyone else's mood by having Vinny on today.
You didn't listen to my show yesterday, man. I had people calling me up saying I was depressing the hell out of them. And that's what happens when the election rolls around, man. I go between anger, depression, and apathy. Anger, depression, and apathy, like a pendulum, kind of swinging back and forth. And the second hour of yesterday's show, frack me, Freddie, was I feeling the depressed mode. Oh, God.
You look at the choices they give us. We've got dumb and dumber. I mean, my thing is, what poison do you want to take? You want the cyanide or you want the strychnine? Which one do you want? They're both going to tell you just different ways.
And it's funny you should say that, because that's precisely what I said to another commenter on my Facebook. I call it Facebook because it's a cross between fascism and Facebook. And he said, oh, Vinny, would you have rather Romney won? And I said, you frickin' dumbasses. These people are both scum. You're simply picking between and preferring cyanide over arsenic or arsenic over cyanide, thinking that either one might... They're still both going to frickin' kill you! Wake up!
That is the absolute truth. And they are. They are. It's... You know, I love the cartoon. I see it on Facebook now, and it shows this cow, and he's standing in front of a corridor. And there's one that goes to the left and one that goes to the right. And you look down the hallway a little bit, and they both go into the same slaughterhouse. And that's where we're going. You know, I did a show on Monday. I did a two-hour monologue, and I walked us through every president since John F. Kennedy and how this progression of bad policy has been imposed upon the American people. Now, I say bad policy because it's bad for the American people, it's bad for the people of the world. But if you're a globalist, if you believe in the New World Order, these policies are brilliant. And they've implemented them slowly. Every administration, there's another change. There's something else that comes on. I mean, you look at Lyndon Johnson, it was forced immigration and civil rights and the Immigration Reform Act in 1965. You look to him, Richard Nixon, who took us up the gold standard. And, oh God, what was Nixon a big screw up? Not Watergate, but other foreign policy decisions. And you know, you look at Carter and Ford, and just down the line how we've been led down this path, and nobody ever goes back and says, this policy is not serving the interests of the people of the United States. It's hurting the people of the United States. And yet here we are. Nothing ever changes. They put these things in incrementally. They're very Fabian in their approach. And you know, the straitjacket is almost tightened back, and we're almost powerless and helpless anymore. And if we don't do something soon, we won't even be able to kick with our arms in the deck with the long sleeves tied behind you, you know? We don't have any choices.
Yeah, and your choices just gradually get taken away from you, and that's kind of half the reason why I quit my job in the first place, bro, is I just didn't have any choice, you know? I had to go to work at a certain time, had to go to appointments, had to make the money, had to do this, had to do that, blah, 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 blah. And I was just thinking, man, my life really sucks because I don't really actually have any direction that's determined by myself. I'm not charting my own course here. I was quite a brilliant worker. Every job that I went into, I could only really do it for about 6 months because I became the best at it, became really bored, and tried to do other stuff within the company, and they wound up saying, no, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't improve the company, you can't make it work faster, you can't work harder, or you can't get paid more, you can't this, you can't that, you can't the other. So I was like, okay, well, I either get really, really bored and wind up getting fired, or I get really, really bored and wind up quitting because I just there's no challenge, right? And once I become number one, that's kind of it for me. It's over, essentially. Well, and now my challenge is to become the number one media outlet / radio show host / YouTube channel / scumbaggery exposer / networking dude in the world. That's basically what I want to be. I've got a very high opinion of myself. It's like I'm wearing truth armor, which is impenetrable. No lie can get through it. I'm not saying that I know everything or whatever. It's more like if somebody confronts me with the truth, I'll let it in, whatever the truth might be, and just go, oh, no, that's really hard truth to accept, but I will accept it. Or if they're just spitting out lies, propaganda, brain spasms of brainwashing, I will instantly, the mind just ticks over, tick, 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 like a little machine, and it starts spitting out all these things. I cluster bomb them with information, and before they know it, they've left the conversation. And that's what happens invariably every time. People try to argue with me, and they're wrong. And they wind up leaving the conversation because they can't handle the fact that they're wrong. I never leave conversations when I'm wrong. I keep staying in the conversation so that somebody can teach me something that I don't already know. That's what I'm interested in.
You have just touched on something. And there is this is a very valuable lesson for everyone to learn. So many people are confused by beliefs that they don't allow the facts to influence them. They believe this way, but don't bother them with the facts. And that happens so many times. A friend of mine, a guy named Jeff Gates, who wrote a brilliant book called Guilt by Association, which really exposes Zionists doing organized crime in the U.S. and how they seize control of our entire government. But he's the guy who taught me to don't believe something. Find out what the facts are. It doesn't matter what you believe. I believe that those airplanes brought down those two towers on 9/11. Don't tell me something else did it. And you know, there's so much of this that our media tells us that are not facts, but our news media gives us beliefs. And it's really not news anymore. It's really pop culture, and they shape our pop. It's a pop culture media, not a news media. They compromise themselves so far that you can't believe a word they say.
Yeah, they said the sky is blue, you check out, oh, it's actually cloudy. Liar! You know.
It's kind of great because it's your chemtrails today.
You know, so people aren't allowed to say the truth anymore. Like, for example, if a politician lies on stage and you call out, he's a liar! He's a lying scumbag!
nobody, everybody just kind of like stands up and gets all uppity and says, oh no, get that person out of here, he's speaking the truth, he's a dangerous individual.
We need more dangerous individuals, and here's our next pick. We'll be right back in a couple minutes, folks. Stick with us. On the Rinse Radio Network, and today is Wednesday, November 7th, 2012, the day after the election. And really, there was never going to be any winner in this election. The only loser is the American people. And that's because we've allowed our political process to be co-opted. And so today, I invited Vinny Eastbound because, you know, Vinny's got a sense of humor, and he's exactly right about what he's saying, that if you're not allowed to speak the truth anymore, and if you go into a public, like a candidate's forum, for instance, and you've got two candidates up there, and they're debating the issues, and they're talking about things, and you stand up in the back of the room, and you ask a question, and say, hey, wait a minute, you lied to me about this. That's not the truth. You will be very quickly forcibly ejected. No matter how big you are, they'll send bigger guys in there to bounce you out of there. It's just a sad state of affairs that our public dialogue has degraded to where we're not allowed to tell the truth. And so, Vinny, I know about you, and I know about me. You're not going to stop me from doing it. I'm going to tell the truth as I know it. I'm going to tell it as loud as I can. And you know what? They can't hurt me.
Yep, and I felt that the similarity between America and New Zealand and the UK and Australia, all the English-speaking nations, is quite stark, really, because you've got fluoride, we got fluoride. You've got a corrupt FDA that approves stuff before it's safe, we've got a corrupt Ministry of Health that approves stuff before it's safe. You got massive poisons and stuff like that being dumped all over your land. We've got a compound known as 1080, which the Japanese used to poison Chinese waterways during the Manchurian campaign prior to World War II, being dumped into pristine bushland into the water catchment areas. Have you got corrupt politicians who are funded by bankers who nobody's and the media never call them on it, and they surprise, surprise, get elected because they've just got way more money than everybody else that they're just made up off the top of their heads? And we've got scumbags of similar nature. And the parallels go on and on and on. And it's the same system, the exact same system. You know how you've got red Republicans and you've got blue Democrats? Well, we've got blue National Party and red Labour Party. It's just they switch the colours, and the left and the false left and the false right play paradigm, and everybody in this country kind of doesn't see it, or at least as somebody who tells the truth, you understand that you are the minority, you are the smallest but most powerful minority in your country, but you feel alone. Nonetheless, even though you are more powerful than people who are morons standing together, right? I feel, frankly, that you said that when a president gets elected, nobody wins, America loses. But understand this, the influence of America is global. So whoever wins the US election, the world loses. The whole...
Absolutely agree with you, you know. And I look at the election, and, you know, I have to give the American people credit for something. And that is, you know, Ron Paul, he was really the guy who was the overall favorite. He was the guy who could beat Obama. The only guy who could probably beat Obama. And Romney, through skullduggery and outright theft and election tampering in the primaries and in the caucuses, and really, really subverted the political process of this country. Romney thought that if he could steal the nomination from the Republican Party, that he could win. And you know what? I have to congratulate the grassroots of the Republican Party and the independents for seeing through Mitt Romney's scheming, conniving, skullduggery in order to win the nomination, because nobody likes Obama. I don't know anybody who likes Obama, but they defeated Romney and said they were at least smart enough to see through him, because I look at him as being a bigger danger to the U.S. than Obama is.
Well, you know, and this is the other thing. We had an argument with one of my followers about, oh, Vinny, you would have rather supported the gun-loving, homophobic, banker-funded frickin' Romney over Obama. And it's like, there's so many inaccuracies just in that one statement that it actually take me about maybe 20 minutes to really kind of encapsulate it, but... I said, and so she says, I proudly voted for Obama because he's the lesser of two evils. And so I said, okay, I'm glad that you admit that you proudly support evil. And she goes, I never said that I supported evil. Yes, you did. Supporting the lesser of two evils is still supporting evils. In fact, because of the electoral system, you're supporting two evils by supporting either one. And
indeed.
And gun lovers... Let me just tell you something about gun lovers. You know how many gun lovers have actually been exterminated in the 20th century? None. You know why? Because they had guns! Every single country that has ever enslaved with a police state or exterminated with a military factoid practicing program have banned guns. Every single one of them. Nazi Germany. Who were the first people that they legislated against? It wasn't the Jews. It was homeschoolers. To get all the children out of the homes, away from the ability to focus on their parents and have a family unit, and to instead put Daddy, Hitler, as their frickin' father figure. And the last people that Nazi Germany passed legislation against before committing war and acts of genocide was gun owners. Right? Have a look at Cambodia. The Khmer Rouge. They banned guns, and then, because the citizens had nothing to defend themselves, they forced them all onto rural areas out of the cities, stole all their land and everything, and turned them into frickin' peasants and exterminated a million of them. China. They took over the entirety of China with only 1% popular support, Chairman Mao did. He did it with the barrel of a gun and banned guns for everybody else. So he would be the only one to point a weapon at you and say, look, you're going to vote for Chairman Mao. And you go, well, what happens if I don't vote for Chairman Mao? Well, we'll shoot you. And then we'll shoot your family. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess it looks like I'm voting for Chairman Mao. And Stalinist Russia, they banned all the guns. You have a look at what happened in the Ukraine. The most fertile farmland in the whole of the USSR, with wealthy private farmers who were tilling the land very well, extremely productive. They banned their guns, then they stole all of their food supplies and grain, and 7 million people starved to death very, very quickly. It came to the point where people would be walking down the road and they'd see a dead body in the street with its buttocks cut off, because it was the only meat, it was the only thing you could really eat was each other. That was the only thing that was left. Okay? These people tried to rise up against these communist soldiers with pitchforks and plowshares, and they got annihilated. Okay? Now, nobody ever talks about the Ukrainian extermination. Everybody's worried about the Nazi Germany 6 million Jews figure. Now, look at it this way. Everybody who gets their guns taken off them, subsequently gets exterminated. Okay? Yeah, that's just the general rule of history. And now, somebody's a gun lover. Oh, they must be evil. You know why you think they're evil? Is because a bunch of scumbags in the United Nations who are very, very communist, very, very fascist. At the same time, the very first person who was the Chancellor of the UN was a former Nazi Party official. Okay? And the land that the UN building sits on in New York was donated by John D. Rockefeller. So if you think Nazis and the Rockefellers are looking out for your well-being, you've been lied to. You are brainwashed. And the problem is, if I call you brainwashed, you'll get upset and say that I'm too full of myself, right? Oh, Vinny, yeah, I used to follow you back when you were cool and you were open-minded and blah, 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 blah. But now you're just saying gun lobbying is a good thing and that the UN is a bad thing. Oh, I'm not gonna listen to you ever again. Okay, you'll wind up getting exterminated one day. I won't, because I know what people are gonna try to do before they kill me. You don't. You won't have any defense when they come for you.
Well, that's the point, Jim. I've said it often on my show. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, if you read his book, like Archipelago, it's a tremendously long book, but if you only have time to read one chapter, read the chapter called The Arrest. And you're right about the guns. The United Kingdom doesn't allow guns anymore. Australia confiscated all the guns. And what happened in Australia, that's the neighboring country where you're at down there, and
Port Arthur.
Time went up. The criminals don't care. They're glad you don't have guns. They're glad you can't defend yourself, because you know you're easy pickings for them. And the government is the biggest set of criminals around. I tell you, folks, there ain't no Superman. We have to do this ourselves. We, the people, have to put this government in its place. We have to get these people, get rid of them, and take them to task. It's time to take every government official, everybody who's even remotely attached to this thing, and send them to the re-education camp picking beets until they learn the error in their ways.
Well, and also, we've all got this appeal to authority complex. It's like, I get people who I guess somebody said to me today, Vinny, stop focusing on all this American crap, blah, 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 blah. You should focus more on the New Zealand side of things. And I just sent him two links. One is my Kiwi Collaborators page with more New Zealand activists than any mainstream media organization. All of them combined have ever put on air. And then a second one is a search term for John Key, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, with like 50 videos or something exposing it. I'm already doing it, ladies and gentlemen.
this is our long break. We've got the news at the top of the hour. So Vinny, go get a coffee and a cigarette, and we'll be back in about 6 minutes, okay?
All right. After all, I would have to be something to do with you. I really don't mind what happens now and then. As long as you'll be my friend at the end. Look by the
Choice of the Stick. This is Mike Harris on the Rants Radio Network. And today is November 7th, 2012, the day after the lose-lose election. So we're on a special guest, Vinny Eastwood from New Zealand. And you know, over the break, I did a little research looking up. You know, Google's a handy thing here. It's about voter turnout in the U.S. and how low voter turnout was. In fact, we've been on a declining voter turnout trend for, no, actually since the 1960 election when they elected John F. Kennedy. We know how he ended up, but voter turnout has been steadily declining ever since that time. And if the facts that are posted on the site that I went to are correct, we had just over 53% of the American people, actually, of the eligible voters, got out to vote. That's pathetic. And people wonder why we have such crap for a government. It's because they don't care. They don't care enough to vote. And I urge everyone to vote. And, you know, I would have been urging to vote for, number one, vote for alternative party candidates. I'd like to see the Libertarians get at least 5% of the vote so they could qualify for federal money and be invited to the debate. That would help. And I voted against every sitting incumbent. I voted for all the challengers, regardless of party affiliation. I don't care what they believe. I just want new people. I'm tired of the same old, you know, scallywags who've been in there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I don't want to come back. I want them to go away. They made this mess. I want to get rid of these guys. But, you know, we didn't do it. Once again, the American people blew the opportunity to have meaningful change, and they blew it. Anyways, welcome back. How was your break?
It was rotten. But they... I don't like talking about the elections. I don't like elections. I don't like watching them. I don't like listening to them. I don't like arguing with the people who actually think that they're real. Okay? It's depressing. I was watching this C-SPAN and Al Jazeera and New Zealand TV3 News and Fox and Press TV and so many other different news sources, you know, just flipping through them and listening for a little bit about their coverage of the election. And what came up firstly is some kind of a drop-off I've gathered on January 1st, when, of course, nobody's going to be in the House of Congress or in the Senate or anything like that. Just like when the Federal Reserve was passed in 1913, they've got this deadline thing. They are definitely going to save the economy by cutting $600 billion in costs and increasing the tax per family to $3,500. It's just like, you're going to save the economy by destroying the life of the workers by taxing them into non-existence? I mean, there's 40 million people on frickin' food stamps as it is.
Yeah, actually, it's been 47 million for the last, 8 or 9 months. I imagine that the real number is probably closer to 55 million now, but I'm not going to tell you that before the election. But there's more people unemployed. There's more people on food stamps. There's more poverty in this country than we have ever had. And, you know, if just unemployment numbers, if we use the same numbers we used back in 1980, the same metrics to measure unemployment, youth unemployment rate is closer to 24% than it is to 8%. So what they do is they change how you measure. If you don't like the yardstick you're using, change the yardstick. And that's what they've done. They're trying to give us the illusion that things are good when things come in part of the situation they really are. And Vinny, mark my words, it's not long before we have violent civil unrest in this country. And I fear it's going to be along racial lines. And
I don't
and
think so.
The only thing. You don't think so?
No, absolutely not. All right, if the American people were going to rise up, if they were actually going to turn it into some kind of a hot war, they probably would have done it of their own accord right now. There's more than enough insane reasons out there to want to spill blood in the street and turn your country into a war zone. However, I think that what's happening here is, and I don't want to demean you or say that you're wrong or anything. This is just my personal opinion. You've got yours, I've got mine. And we'll listen to each other. So dig this. heaps of people said that if Obama wins, there's going to be a race war. If there's no difference really, but if Romney wins, there's going to be a race war because all the black people will be upset that they didn't re-elect their black president. If Obama wins, there's going to be a civil war because of all the white people who don't like having a black president. And it's just like, hold on a second. Both sides are saying the same thing. Distraction. And you know what happens when you fear war? Your brain shuts the frack down and you stop thinking. Which of these scumbags to vote for becomes the only thing that you can think, because that's the only thing you're being told. You've got to vote for this guy or there'll be a war. You've got to vote for that guy or there'll be a war. So people are like stuck in between like a pinball machine, battered around with these ideologies. Fear, fear, fear. Every time when I see it coming out, there's consequences of this person or that person or blah, 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 blah. If the consequence that's being promoted is within the realm of being afraid, then I don't think it's a real threat in a lot of ways. However, that said, it's a shockingly large amount of evidence to support that there might be some kind of civil unrest in the United States. In fact, frack, it's already happening. I call people being evicted by the sheriff when they're attached to a breathing machine that needs electricity as civil unrest in the United States. I see children being forced vaccinated at school without even so much as asking their parents as civil unrest in the United States. You see what I'm saying here? It's already begun.
I do. There is direct government violence against the people already. But what I was going to do was call for, let's don't fight each other along racial lines. Let's take out this police state. Let's focus our efforts as a united American people on the police state, and let's run these bad. I'm sorry, SOBs out of town. I almost said it with broadcasting over AM radio, so there's certain words I can't use, and I won't use that one. So SOBs is a good enough term. I caught myself.
See, it's funny you should say that, because as I was coming back on from break, I was going to ask you, is this FCC-regulated radio? Because there's a lot of words that I can use to describe this election that I can't use on this particular type of network.
Yeah, well, we do have some benefits out there that are FCC-regulated, and we want to honor their we want them to last, just continue to broadcast to the broadest audience we can. And hey, we want as many
people
to hear.
It's the land of the free. It's the land of the free where your freedom of speech is protected, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's why we're not allowed to say certain words on the air. But yes, they can put stuff on television, which is nearly pornographic. I say it doesn't make any sense. We're living in a crazy world. We have been completely subjugated. We've been completely, you know, mind wiped. We're not even brainwashed. We don't have brains anymore. We don't think. It's a frightening prospect, this country that we're living in right now, and you know, the thing is, Vinny, you and I are both about being the truth to people. But I want to compel people to take actions. And I can't tell them what actions to take. They have to decide their own actions. But I want people to take actions. Hopefully nonviolent. Maybe it's something as simple as taking your money out of Bank of America and putting it into your local credit union so you don't send those fees out of your local community. Maybe it's something as simple as not going to a large chain of restaurants that spans the globe, but going to the local restaurant where the guy goes, he works in the same community, his kids go to the same school as your kids do, and supporting local business. Don't go to the Lowe's hardware store. Go to your local hardware store and buy stuff from, and maybe he charges you 50 cents more for a tape measure, but big deal. The money stays in the community. And insists on buying products that are made in America and boycott companies that have the products made in China. I mean, come on, folks. We got to do it. We don't have much leverage left. Let's use the leverage we have. Let's use it to our best advantage. Okay, well, here's the next break, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes, and with Vinny, who's just a great guest, and Vinny, you're a joy to have on the show. I really appreciate it. afternoon. Welcome back to the short end of the stick. Today is Wednesday, November 7th, 2012. We're on the Rinse Radio Network, and we're on with very special guest, Vinny Eastwood. And over the break, Vinny and I were talking a little bit about media and that how the Internet is now the new media, and that the traditional media outlets, your television, your traditional radio, they're on the way out. I mean, what crushing. And Vinny, to share the story that you just told me about the mainstream media guy who actually did an article on you and about, you know, the Facebook response to your government, because this is really telling about how the old media is dying because nobody trusts it. You can't get the truth out of them.
Well, I had these dudes come over to my house, photographer and a journalist, and they interviewed me for 3 or 4 hours, went out, wrote about a 1,800-page article on me, positive article for the most part, and when they put it up on their website, mainstream media news website, they get 2 Facebook likes. I said, okay, mainstream media, eh? Definitely very appealing. And then I posted that article on my Facebook page, and within an hour, I had 18 likes. Okay? These people are having their asses handed to them. By us.
Yeah.
You know, little old Vinny Eastwood with a $100 pair of outdoor work lamps, a donated computer, a donated microphone, a donated megaphone, and donated this, donated that, the other, broke as hell, is blitzing them like they're not even there.
Well, that's the good news. That's a 900% improvement in what the mainstream media did, that little old Vinny Eastwood did. And that's, like I said, we are the new media, and our market share is growing. While CNN has lost 45% of their market share since January 1st of 2012, ours is up. You know, I also write for Veterans Today. Veterans Today is growing 500,000 new readers per month, and it's just going through the roof. You know, how many people are looking to the Internet for their news, their information, because, you know what? They know it's not a set of lies. Well, the bad guys know this, too, and so there's as much disinformation.
Well, see, this is part of the reason. It's part of the reason why often we get demonized. Here's how you know if somebody's lying to you. Do they use the exact same phrase, many times, like they're reading a script? Okay, pre-polished, they're lying to you. Are they saying different things all the time that contradict the things that they previously said? Yep, okay, they're lying to you. Are they, on the other hand, saying different things all the time, but it all ties in and expands upon the things that they previously said? Probably telling the truth, right? When people forgo details, real, let me just emphasize that, details like facts, evidence, reports, eyewitnesses, documents, that sort of stuff, far more credibility. If it's you're just arrogant and blah, 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 all this ad hominem stuff that you see out of the mainstream media, like if you've ever heard of Russell Brand, the VMA host once upon a time back in the day, just getting absolutely lambasted by British media, and they're all saying, oh, he's scandalous, he's scandalous, he's scandalous, he's scandalous, umpteen million frickin' times, all over the British Broadcasting Corporation airwaves. And then when he comes out it's just and explains what actually happened, you realize, hey, it's actually nothing. And it turns out that there's a whole bunch of scumbaggery filth in the major media who simply didn't like him and sabotaged his entire career. So it's like, hold on a second. It's either scripted or it is personal, and that's it. You've either got personal attacks or scripted attacks. And, you know, the truth very rarely gets out on mainstream media because the truth is a hot potato. Journalists lose their lives, lose their jobs, or lose their careers if they come out and touch hot-button issues that the networks don't approve of. You know, even in alternative media, there's certain names that my network doesn't allow me to mention on air and stuff like that for fear that that person might reprise of certain topics. I should probably try and avoid, but cover if it's poignant or whatever. So there's this whole mass censorship mentality that has come from the mainstream media, and is now a lot of people have come from mainstream media and started into the alternative media, but they're bringing all that frickin' baggage with them. Okay? Have you ever seen a frickin' handbook on how to be a Truth or Talk radio show host? No.
No.
You know why? Because it doesn't frickin' exist. Okay? We're all creating stuff out here as openly and honestly as conceivably possible and attempting to save people's lives. There ain't no handbook. There ain't no rules. If you hurt anybody or if you knowingly spout lies over your radio program, you should be exposed. But at the end of the day, nobody knows what we're doing because we've never been here before.
Absolutely right. And we'll be right back after this short break. And stick with us, folks. It's getting good. Hang on. This is Mike Harris on the Links Radio Network, and it's Wednesday, November 7th, 2012, and we're on with special guest Vinnie Eastwood. And Vinnie, hey, welcome back. I know that the breaks, they keep the electricity on so we can continue to broadcast, and I urge all of our listeners, if possible, to support our sponsors on the show and every other show, because we don't have the backing of the big money, the big corporations out there that are supporting it. We depend on our sponsors to keep this network on the air. The same situation over your network on America Freedom and the thing that made. So if you need us at our sponsors, take a look at them. Give them a evaluation. Try them out. And that's the plug for commercialism today.
Well, see, and this is another thing. Somebody called up my show the other day, Mike, and said, "Well, Vinny, why are all the truthers broke?" And I said, "Because they're not doing it for the money, and so they're not seeking money, and so they wind up going broke and going off air, invariably." How much truth can you speak if you're not on air?
None.
All right. Who benefits from our information? Not the globalists, so we can't expect money from them. I found, it's like millionaires, right? A millionaire will have $1 million in the bank, and have maybe two or three mates who will do anything for him, right? But in the truth movement, we've got two or three bucks in the bank, but 1 million people will do anything for us. You know what I'm saying? And I've been supporting myself. That's what I want to accomplish at the end of the day anyway, is just have this massive network where anything I want to get accomplished can simply be done with no messing around, no asking for permission, just going out and doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do in and of itself. You know, that's what I'm out to accomplish in my life. And I don't know how long it's going to take before people get that. This is not a game. I can't go back to work. I get panic attacks when I go into job interviews and have an employer and all of that kind of stuff. I can't freaking do it, man. I can't be somebody's slave again. So instead, I've offered myself up in servitude to the listeners. And sure enough, I got people who are going to my website, clicking the subscribe button and giving me $5, $10, or $20 a month, whatever they can afford, in order to help me just continue what I'm doing. You ever get people who call up a radio show host or something like that and say, keep up the good work? And I say, well, help me, okay? Help me, and I'll be able to do even more. Okay, when I started off, I was getting maybe $100 a week or something like that. And all I was able to do was just do my radio show, barely do any archiving. Now I'm on like 250 plus a week, and I'm producing between 2 and 4 hours of video and audio and commercial free and short clip content per day. I produce, minute for minute, more content per day than any single media organization that does news in New Zealand. By myself, because a few people in the United States and New Zealand and Australia and other countries around the world give me $5 a month. That's a cup of coffee-ish a month. And it's only 5 New Zealand dollars, which is, I think, like $3.50 US. It's very, very small. But just like the totalitarian tiptoe, as David Icke speaks of, you take many, 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 many little steps, and it eventually adds up to a lot. And believe me when I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, every single dollar that has come my way, I have earned through blood, I have earned through being insulted, I have earned through being arrested, I have earned through being insulted. I have earned by collaborating with other people on other networks, by promoting the living heck out of them. I have earned by running donation drives for other activists who are in desperate need of help. I have earned everything that has been given to me. And I don't earn it retroactively, but every single time that I do get something more than I currently have, it then obligates me to do more than I'm currently doing. You see what I'm saying? The real problem with these mainstream media organizations is they get paid a six-figure income for sitting there reading some frickin' words on a page. They ain't producing anything near that amount of value. Okay? What products have they got? What products have they produced that actually earn that kind of income for them? And the answer is they don't. Okay? When you're a truth movement commentator, all you really have, kind of like Scarface, I only got two things, my word and my balls, and I break them for nobody.
Well, you're right, and I have to say you're a little bit ahead of the curve where I'm in the process of developing a website, but I've never developed a website before. I'm very clueless, and I don't know how to do this. You know, I mean, money's time is difficult for me to even afford to give the domain that I want. I mean, it is a market out here, and I'm just grateful to have the spot on the Wentz Network right now, just to get to be able to talk to the American people, and really the people in the entire world. I mean, to have Netflix yourself on, and have Gordon Duff on it, I've got a good portfolio that I have on that can people understand what's going on, what's happening to in this world. You know, you need money to live, and this has been a challenge for me.
Well, see, absolutely been a challenge. Well, this challenge exists, but the thing is, with overcoming challenges, you don't suddenly try and leap over this giant wall of I'm broke and here's me with financial security. You take it up step by step, and you got to figure out what people are willing to give up. Okay, I'm giving up 12, 16 hours a day of free time, so that I can do all the website editing, do all my uploading, do all my audio and video archiving and all this sort of stuff. Okay, that's what I'm giving up. And what do people gain from that? They gain access to virtually unlimited knowledge. the amount of people that I've had on my show who are the top thinkers, PhDs, doctors, researchers, authors, CIA, FBI, DOD, name your alphabet, name your couple of letters after and or before the name, and I've had many, many of such people on with critical analysis that indeed expands your mind. But do I charge for that? No, I actually put it up for free. And then ask people, if you like that, then just support me a little bit. Just a little bit, so I can keep giving all this content out for free. Otherwise, I may not be here, and imagine how much that would suck.
That's right, and we'll be right back for these short breaks. On the Rinse Radio Network, and we have with us today Mr. Vincent Eastwood. Vinny, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Pleasure to be here still, live.
Yeah, I do appreciate your tutorial here on how to monetize what I do, because, you know, this, most people don't know that this is really a not-paying job. You don't get compensated for this. I kind of recall that was all my one-year voluntary internship. To learn how to do this. I mean, did I ever tell you the story how this happened, how I got on the radio? I wrote an article for Veterans Today about how the Iranians had captured that drone. Remember?
I remember that.
Yeah, so I wrote an article on Veterans Today, and I articulated, because I come out of the technology sector, you know, and I'm one of the guys whose industry got exported to China, so my industry doesn't live in the country, but always in China. So I wrote an article explaining to them how it was hijacked, how it was landed, how it was controlled, because one of my first jobs in college was working on the telemetry system on the Persian II missile. So I explained this in this article, and the host for the other network and called me up and said, I'd like to be on my show and tell the people how this happened. So I said, well, sure, I'd love to. You know, he's a good guy. I really like him a lot, but I guess he had two wisdom teeth removed the day before. And so I guess it was bothering him while he was trying to do the show, and I guess he took, some painkiller or something. And during the show, he you know, couldn't continue. And so they asked me if I would be kind enough to finish out the show for him. You know, so I said, well, sure, I did. And I felt bad for the guy. I thought something, you know, really traumatic happened to him. And I guess having risen to God is traumatic. And so I finished out the show, and they said, thank you very much. I said, okay, well, have a great day. And about 3 hours later, they called me back and says, you know, we need a host for the rest of the week. Can you come in and take over for this guy for the rest of the week? And I said, well, yeah, sure I can. I'll be glad to do that. So I finished out the week, and then that Sunday, I thought I was done with this thing, and they called and said, look, we couldn't work things out with our host. Would you like to be in the show? I said, yeah, I'll try it for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, if we can find somebody. And a year later, I did the whole thing for a year, so I figured that was my internship. That's how I became in the radio broadcast industry as a truther. That's my. I didn't plan this. It's
well,
that,
thing is,
that one,
With internship, you've usually got mentors. And I see a lot of people who've been doing radio for a significant period of time who aren't really getting anywhere very quickly. Like, in a year's development, I went from having a guest host position to being one of the most prominent shows on the network and having the largest guest that you'd expect to see on already majorly developed truther radio shows. And I put that down to two things. Number one, my producer and the network owner, Mitch Santel and Danny Romero, their mentorship in terms of getting me into radio and how to run a show, absolutely invaluable advice, incredibly wise guys. And secondly, was the fact that I work harder than anybody. And I made sure, absolutely made sure, that every single day I was doing a better show than I was doing yesterday. Every single day I was doing more work and accomplishing more than I was the day before. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't have a goal to be successful at something without looking at all the elements in the equation. But it was only by the point that I was arriving my second year, which is probably about maybe 6 months ago or so, just before getting onto my second year of doing radio at American Freedom Radio, I realized, oh my God, I'm now receiving enough regular donations and sales off the website that I can pay my rent for the first time in 4 years, and my girlfriend doesn't have to pay my way for most of it anymore. And now, not only can I pay for my rent, but I can also pay for my food and my internet. So those three basic things, after 2 years in radio, when you're remaining consistent and you're bringing in big guests and you're attracting their audiences to you, you suddenly amass an audience that's big enough, who respects you enough, who's heard you for long enough, that they will be willing to open out their wallets. They will be willing to support you. There will be some people out there who say anybody who asks for money is an evil, bad person or whatever. And you'll see what those people accomplish. Nothing. They never do radio shows. They don't even have so much as a YouTube channel. They got nothing. And not only do they have nothing themselves, but they have nothing to contribute that's positive or helpful to you. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an entirely different scenario than I have, because I did not have any mentorship at all. In fact, I just got out and did it. And it was OJT, on-the-job training for me over at my previous network over at Republic. I didn't get any support from them. I got no guidance, got no direction. It was up to me to find my own guests and to do everything. And somehow, I managed. And, I managed a year, and I took their numbers. When I took all that show, the numbers were pretty low. If you look at the servers and things, they were doing between 175 and 200 listeners per day, and I got that up over well over 1,000 per day just within that short time. And, I guess I'm okay. Like I said, I had no guidance, no direction, and it was just a sink or swim time for old Mike, and I figured it out. So hopefully we'll do the same thing here, and we'll increase this audience even bigger and be more successful and spread this truth that needs to be spread out there, because we can't let the bad guys win, because they're going to enslave us all. And we have to stop this. Okay, so there ain't no Superman. It's up to us. It's up to guys like you and I. And everybody out there who's listening has to do something to turn this tide. And that's one of my big motivations, is trying to compel people, to inspire people, to want to change enough to actually do something, to get up off the sofa and change the world we live in and leave this world a better place for our kids and our grandkids and posterity behind it, because this is the last years on my watch. You weren't born yet, but on my watch, we didn't even know what's happening. It's like that the frog in the water. You put him in the scalding water, he'll jump out. It's slowly turned the heat up on us, and to now the water's nearly ready to boil, and we're about to be cooked. So
yeah. a friend of mine, Mikhail, he's a flamenco guitarist, and we've done a number of really, really awesome songs together, even if I do say so myself. I'm not sure if, and I haven't released them online for anybody to listen to, but we're going to very soon. And he was saying to me, Vinny, you know, I haven't even realized about the New World Order or the system until like the last 2 years, and I'm 50 years old. And I said, that's exactly right, Mike. You know why? Because it takes seeing this stuff for 30 or 40 years and losing everything that you had before you notice that there's anything actually different today than was back then. And by then, it's too late. That's the agenda. And I've now become cognizant that the elder generations, people like yourself, Mike, who have the experience, but maybe don't have the creativity and the energy, are now so much more benefited by incorporating with the youth, because the youth have got creativity and we've got energy, but we've got no experience. And so if it's not guided by somebody who's older and wiser and more experienced and fostered in a way, it kind of goes all over the place, you know. And that was what I happened to do with my first couple of years, going out in the street with a camera. I was always running out to people, attacking them, saying you're a scumbag and New World Order filth or whatever. What did I achieve other than hits? Nothing. Didn't make any friends. and that's what happens when you've got a creative, energetic young guy with no experience and no older hand on the tiller, you know? And
it's a sort of bull. The old Bill sitting on top of the hill looking down at the herd of cow flow. And I won't tell the rest of the story, but everybody, I'm sure pretty much everyone has heard it. The young bull says, well, let's go, let's run down there and do us one of those towns. And the old bull says, let's walk down and do them all. You know, there is something to be said for experience.
See, and the thing is, even with experience, if you don't have the energy to put your experience into action, it's kind of wasted, isn't it? And I believe that so many older people and younger people have got this adversarial relationship going on, you know, oh, you old fogey, oh, you young whelp, you know. It's stupid.
I don't quite have one foot in the grave yet. I'm still taking precedence, and I'm not as old as you think, but I sure do miss my misspent youth. I had as a young man. But,
just wondering about workload. Are people still working as hard as they were able to do in their youth as they are now, just kind of like in later life? I mean, even from the age of 25 and then going on to the age of 40, there's a huge energy kind of purge that goes on where you expend all your energy in your youth trying to get somewhere, and then you get there and then it kind of tapers off, sort of thing, and then it becomes about maintaining yourself rather than expanding yourself in a lot of ways.
Let me say this about that, because that's a good point. That is, work more effectively than I did as a young man. I can accomplish more in less time with less energy than I ever did at age of 25. So, and Vinny, you got background music coming in, and it's like we're out of time again already. It's been
great.
Yeah,
it's just like the movie 2012, Mike.
Hey, and you
just like the movie 2012, Mike. I wish we had more time. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed your elections, and I hope you enjoy your enslavement, and we'll see you again sometime, and hopefully you'll actually join me right now at AmericanFreedomRadio.com for the Vinny Eastwood Show, The Lighter Side of Genocide. See you again, folks.
Well, Vinny, you've had an open invitation. Come back anytime you want. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. Take care and be well, bro. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. See ya.